السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
عليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخ.
أبا عبد الرحمن، كيف الحال؟
الحمد لله يا شيخ، حسنا إليك.
طيب نبدأ. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. أما بعد، Our book is Al-Adab Al-Mufrad by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari rahimahullah. Muhammad ibn Ismail. In about every class we mention the name of this Imam, Muhammad ibn Ismail. Muhammad ibn Ismail Abu Abdullah Al-Bukhari. And I think we all should take a lesson from this. Al-Imam Al-Bukhari make a khidmah for the ummah like many others amongst the a'immah. Al-Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, he had his musnad. The musnad of Al-Imam Ahmad has about 30,000 ahadith. And that was before the sahih of Al-Imam al-Bukhari. Likewise, Al-Imam Sufyan al-Thawri, Al-Imam Musaddad ibn Musarrahad, all of these people, Al-Imam Malik, Rahimahullah ibn Anas, he had Muwatta. All of these books had been compiled before Al-Imam al-Bukhari, Rahimahullah, came. And then he compiled Sahih al-Bukhari. And yet the status of Sahih al-Bukhari in the Ummah regarding the rest of the books that were compiled before him is something that we all know. Al-Imam al-Bukhari came, combined the knowledge, the research, and the verifications of all the scholars before him amongst his teachers, and those that he missed amongst them, rahimahullah, he got their books and their reports from their students. Al-Imam al-Bukhari did not meet Al-Imam Malik. Al-Bukhari did not, rahimahullah, directly receive ahadith, for example, from Al-Imam Malik ibn Anas. But Allah blessed him to meet the students of Al-Imam Malik in Al-Madinah, such as the likes of Al-Imam Hisham ibn Ammar, such as the likes of Al-Imam Abdullah ibn Yusuf al-Tunaisi, such as the likes of Ismail ibn Abi Uwais, who was even amongst the maternal niece, the sister of Malik, was the mother of Ismail ibn Abi Uwais.
Happened
to be from amongst the teachers. Now,
please unmute your mic on Telegram.
I have tried it a number of times and it's not working. And I think that thing is distracting me. I don't know how to handle it.
Okay.
Having to work on the two devices is really distracting my mind. I tried as I joined you on Zoom. I was also trying to connect it on and unmute the mic. The mic was not unmuting. And as I did that, I was already connected to you. So you could see the distraction. I was trying to work here and I was talking. I was already addressing the class.
Okay.
I don't know how you were doing it. Perhaps we have to go back to that. I'm really, really feeling distracted.
That's fine. You work at it.
Then please, Ekwa, just help me work on it. You know, what I was discussing now about Al-Bukhari, about Malik, I was not planning to discuss it at all. But it just came to my mind as we mention him, rahimahullah, in every class. As we start to read every day, we say Al-Bukhari, Al-Bukhari, rahimahullah. for every hadith, you say Al-Bukhari rahimahullah. I wanted to draw a point of benefit that just came to mind, and then the distraction came. So I don't know how we will be handling it. I am very, very new to the Telegram page. Very new to it. So I'm just trying to be able to use it. I just joined it. Perhaps they will help me keep me open such that I will not need to be pressing anything than just join it. And I also have the books we are studying too in front of me. I have four books in front of me. I'm at home. I have four books with me. So you know how distracted I'll be with two devices again in front of me. Just help me manage the situation. I don't know, Abu Amina is on.
No, you manage it.
Jazakumullah khair. Should I go off the Telegram or I should leave it? What should I do? Just tell me what I should do.
Just continue like that, sir. You will handle it.
Inshallah. Jazakumullah khair.
Check out.
You see now, he is also talking to me from the Telegram, and that's not good at all. It's not good. It will divert this class, and I will not like it. He's asking me to unmute myself, and that's not good that we have the discussions coming from various angles in a single class. It will become a distraction. We should avoid it. Perhaps we go back to how you were both handling it before.
No. You can close the Telegram.
No. We're trying to draw a point of benefit from our regularly mentioning Al-Imam al-Bukhari and the rest of the A'imma before him, Al-Imam Ahmed, Al-Imam Sufyan al-Thawri. These were scholars who had compiled books of hadith based on their own asanid between them and the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam before Al-Imam al-Bukhari came, and then he compiled Sahih al-Bukhari. And between some of these a'imma who had compiled books of hadith before al-Bukhari, between them and Al-Bukhari, Al-Imam Al-Bukhari met some of their students, and we took the example of Al-Imam Malik. Al-Imam Malik ibn Anas Abu Abdullah, Imam Dar al-Hijrah, he had compiled Muwatta before Al-Bukhari's compilation of Al-Sahih, Al-Jami' al-Sahih. And Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah was opportune to meet some of the students of Al-Imam Malik. We mentioned a few of them. They were about 7 or 8, to my knowledge, from the students of Al-Imam Malik, who later became from the teachers of Al-Imam al-Bukhari, such that the best of the reports they had from Al-Imam Malik, you would also find them in Sahih al-Bukhari. And you know who Malik was, rahimahullah. The most of his reports were from the elders amongst the Tabi'un, like his reports from Al-Imam Nafi', Mawla Abdullah ibn Umar, like his reports from Al-Imam Zuhri, rahimahullah, like his reports from Zayd ibn Aslam. These were elders, rahimahumullah, amongst the Tabi'un. The Tabi'un were the students of the companions. Nasser was a student of Abdullah ibn Umar. So you would see if Al-Imam al-Bukhari was reporting a hadith from Malik through his teachers who were students of Malik, rahimahumullah, like Ismail ibn Abi Uwais. We read a number of ahadith from him in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, between Al-Bukhari rahimahullah and Malik ibn Anas. We had Ismail ibn Abi Uwais. Ismail ibn Abi Uwais was from the scholars of Medina, from the students of Malik. He even had a compilation that Al-Imam al-Bukhari personally sat down between himself and him. He was telling him the best of his reports from Malik and the rest of his teachers that he relied upon. These were those reports Al-Imam al-Bukhari took from Ismail ibn Abi Uwais. For example, from the students of Al-Imam Malik ibn Anas. And Malik ibn Anas was from amongst the students of the elders amongst the Tabi'un. We gave the example of Nafi', well, simplicity. Nafi'un Mawla Abdullah ibn Umar was the major from amongst the teachers of Al-Imam Malik. He had a lot of reports from him. And we know who Nafi' was, rahimahullah, amongst the Tabi'un. He was in the companionship, in the studentship, under the tutelage of Abdullah ibn Umar. For over 15 years, Nafi' was with Ibn Umar, Abdullah Abu Abdurrahman al-Adawi, the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the son of Umar ibn al-Khattab for 15 years. Radiallahu anhum. For 15 years during the journey, while at home, while at work, while in the market, Nafi' was with Abdullah ibn Umar. And he was reporting the narrations, the lessons, this being from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, from Abdullah ibn Umar. We know how close Ibn Umar was to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right from the days of Mecca till the mid-hijrah, till the end of the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, when he passed away. We knew the place of Abdullah ibn Umar. And then we saw Nafi' with Abdullah ibn Umar. And then we saw Malik with Nafi'. And then we saw Ismail ibn Abi Uwais, for example, with Malik. And then Al-Bukhari with Ismail. Here we can, by ourselves, read those reports that Al-Bukhari collected from Ismail ibn Abi Uwais, who was the son of the daughter of the sister of Malik, who, radiallahu anhu, Al-Imam Malik, was the student of Nafi', who was the student of Abdullah ibn Umar, who was from amongst the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You can clearly see how so perfectly this deen, Islam, was preserved and conveyed, transmitted from one generation to the other. The Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, in this isnad to Abdullah ibn Umar or to Zayd ibn Aslam. Zayd ibn Aslam was also from the scholars of Medina. He was said to be one of the freed slaves of Umar ibn al-Khattab. And he was from the teachers of Al-Imam Malik or from Al-Imam al-Zuhri, rahimahullah, who was also from the students of Anas ibn Malik, al-Zuhri, Muhammad ibn Muslim, ibn Ubaidillah ibn Abdullah ibn Shihab ibn al-Zuhri, was from amongst the Tabi'un, from the students of Anas. and he had reports from Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhum. You can see how this deen came down from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam to the companions, radiallahu anhum, to the students of the companions, rahimahumullah, to the tabi, atba'u tabi'een, the likes of Malik, the likes of Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahumullah, and then from them to their own students, to the likes of Al-Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah. So these reports, one after the other, the likes of Al-Bukhari compiled them into single books for us, and they gathered the best of the reports for us. And they told us, I heard this one from Malik. Some of these reports, if you go to Muwatta, you find it from the reports of Malik itself. And between myself and Malik was Ismail ibn Abi Uwais, for example, or Abdullah ibn Yusuf al-Tunaisi, or Hisham ibn Ammar. These were our students of Malik that were teachers of Al-Bukhari. So from then, when after Al-Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahumullah, passed away, and other scholars like that, we are about 1,250 years away from Al-Bukhari, but we can see Al-Adab al-Mufrad. We can see Al-Jami' al-Sahih. Al-Jami' al-Sahih is the one we all know as Sahih al-Bukhari. Al-Jami' al-Sahih al-Musnad is the one we all know as Sahih al-Bukhari, the Sahih of Al-Imam al-Bukhari. And from the works of Al-Imam al-Bukhari is this one we are studying, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, that he compiled regarding the matters of the conduct, the adab, the carriage, the conduct, and the behavior of the Muslim. So since then till today, this Ummah, when we seek to access these conduct of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we check it through the records of Al-Bukhari, and we can know how so valuable these records are. How did Bukhari get them is what we have heard through his isnad. What we have listed, Al-Bukhari from Ismail ibn Abi Uwais, from Malik, from Nafi, from Ibn Umar, from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the isnad by which Islam has been preserved. So every teaching of Islam must have an isnad. The teachings of our religion have asanid, the link between today and yesterday, so that we can verify that what we ascribe to yesterday actually truly happened yesterday. You can see that Islam itself, it has an internal audit system, you can call it. That is what the ulama refer to as al-isnad. That's why that well-known statement from the well-known tabi'i Muhammad ibn Sirin, he said to us that al-isnadu min ad-din. Many others amongst the scholars also said that after him, that walawla al-isnadu laqala man sha'a ma sha'a. Al-isnad, this chain of from who to who to who, min ad-din, is from our deen. It is from the means by which Allah has preserved this deen. That if not for that, laqala man sha'a ma sha'a. Everyone who wanted to say anything would say whatever they wanted. But if you say anything, and the Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the next thing we start asking you that, is that sahih? Meaning, does it have an isnad that can be verified, authentic? Can we verify it to have actually come from the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam? And after all these, there's a huge benefit for those scholars who compiled those works and even showed us their isnad. You too, you can verify it. That is the meaning. Each time we say Al-Bukhari said, rahimahullah, haddathana Muhammad ibn Kathir, Bukhari is telling us, This was how I received that thing I want to ascribe to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is my connection between me and the Prophet. You can check it and see. You can verify it. Fortunately, in this Ummah, the entirety of these reporters, their biographies are known. They were people, they were individuals who were known. And those who were known with witness were mentioned, yes, this one is known with witness. And those who were known with accuracy were known, yes, these ones were known with accuracy in their reports. And the strength of the reports were so determined because of these. You can see how so perfectly this deen, Islam, has been preserved. And then the books came between now and 1,250 years ago that Al-Imam al-Bukhari passed away. We have their works with us. Another means of sadaqatun jariyah for them. This work was done by al-Bukhari. And it continues to be a means of guidance for millions of the Muslims and billions of the Muslims who had come since that time till today. So, ikhwa, the point here is Allah preserved this deen, and He has preserved it by the efforts of some of the people. And by that, it has been a means of sadaqatun jariyatun for them. We beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from those who will preserve, also teach, and convey this deed from one generation to the other, such that it becomes a means of sadaqatun jariyah for us. This sadaqa jariyah for al-Bukhari. And that was one of the things the Prophet said about sadaqatul jariyah, when he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that when إِذَا مَاتَ إِبْنُ آدَمٍ إِنْقُطَعَ مِنْ عَمَلِهِ أَوْ إِنْقُطَعَ عَمَلُهُ إِلَّا مِنْ Salat, that the children of Adam, the son of Adam, when we pass away, our deeds become cut off from us, except from three angles. One of them is knowledge that you have preserved, and people in subsequent generation, they make a benefit from that knowledge. May Allah reward Al-Imam al-Bukhari. In every class we come to say this book, Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, Rahimahullah, Al-Imam al-Bukhari, huge sadaqah. And one of the scholars, Al-Imam al-Ramahur Muzi, he said, Rahimahullah, that kafa lil muhadithi sharafan an yakuna smuhu bakurunan bismi nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It suffices as a thing of honor for the scholars of Hadith, for Al-Bukhari, for Ahmad ibn Hanbal, for Tirmidhi, for Muslim, for Abu Dawud, for Al-Imam al-Nasa'i, rahimahullah, Al-Imam al-Tabarani, and all the rest of them in subsequent generation. It is sufficient honor for them. أَنْ يَكُونَ اسْمُهُ مَقْرُونًا بِسْمِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, that their name becomes connected to the name of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. You can see when we read a hadith, we begin to say Rawah al-Bukhari. Innama al-a'malu bin-niyyat wa innama likulli imri'in ma nawa. After it, what do we say? Rawah al-Bukhari wa Muslim. Buniya al-Islam wa ala khamsin. After that, what do we say? Rawah Muslim. And so on. And so forth. So that connection between Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Al-Imam al-Bukhari reported, is big honor for al-Bukhari. Rahimahullah. Big honor for them. May Allah grant us these kinds of honor. Make us people who Allah will employ the religion as a means of honor for us. And make us people who will be useful upon His deen. Like these a'imma were very useful. The last chapter we discussed yesterday is the chapter that makes us understand that yes, riba is prohibited. Riba, backbiting. Zikruka akhaka bima yakrahu zikrahu. mentioning your brother with something that he dislikes that you mention about him, whether that thing has to do with his character or it has to do with his khalq, the way Allah has created him, his big head, for example, his curly hairs, or the hairs that have overgrown his face, or with his small beard, all the likes of that, his protruding tummy, these kinds of things with which we ascribe negativity to people. That is the way Allah has made him. And everything that Allah has made is beautiful and fine. But we mention them because whether we like them or not. So if you mention someone with things like this on their body, or the person went blind, or the person has other issues of challenge on their bodies, or with their character, maybe they sleep too much for too long, maybe they sleep too deeply, maybe they talk too loudly, maybe they talk for too long, maybe they don't hear very well, and all of these from the things that are connected to the character of people, or from the things that are connected to their deed, they fall short, committing some sin. They pray hastily. He does not wake up for Qiyamul Layl. He does not make adhkar. These are some naqa'is, things of difference, things of defect in the deen of an individual and in his iman. He brings the iman down. If you begin to say this behind him, our religion, Islam, prohibits it. Saying things behind your brother that your brother does not like, that you say about him, or your sister, as the case may be. But there are exceptions to this rule. And Imam al-Bukhari gave us some of those expressions. Like when we are only being descriptive, نُرِيدُ الصِّفَةَ وَلَا نُرِيدُ الْغِيبَ. We only wanted to describe the person, and we're not intending any sort of an insult in any way. The last two hadiths we read yesterday was Hadith 755, the hadith of our mother Aisha radiallahu anha, and Hadith 756, that was also from her radiallahu anha. In 755, there were a lot of lessons to learn from it. A man called Uyayna ibn Hisn al-Fazari. Uyayna ibn Hisn al-Fazari. The man was the head of his community, but he was a very bad man. Very bad. Many of the scholars said the time when he came to the house of the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, on this occasion, he had accepted Islam. Some said, no, he was only showing Islam. He was only like a munafiq. He was only apparently showing Islam. He had not actually accepted Islam. So you see, some of them will say, oh, he accepted. Because he will show, he will be with the Muslims. And he was the head of his people. And he had a lot of evil on his hands. From his mouth, from his behavior, he was a difficult person to handle. May Allah protect us. Uyayna ibn Hisn al-Fazari. This man now came to the house of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And you know the Messenger alayhi salatu wa salam. Yes, no matter how bad anyone would be, his overall interest is that person should, in the end, become a Muslim. He wanted to handle everybody in such a way that at the end of the day, you become a Muslim. I don't think many of us have these ideas today because of our approach to condemning even those who are Muslims, rather than do more of education. Educate, enlighten more. Enlighten, enlighten, enlighten. If you become too tough with some people, you send them away from Islam. And that is not appropriate for each group of people, for a jahil. The Prophet employed sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam an approach that will be suitable for him to become from the people of Iman, who would come now become from the ulama amongst the people of Iman. So the Prophet approached various people in various forms, depending on how they were. He was calm when it required calmness. He spoke when he required speaking. He was silent when it required being silent. Subhanallah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this approach to inviting to the path of Allah, the ulama refer to it as mudarat. Mudarat. A way of being able to cope with people irrespective of their difference. The ulama say this mudarat is min akhlaqil mu'minin. Mudarat. You come down to the level of the person. Did we not read from the books of hadith that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, one day he wanted to observe Salatul Isha and he had some things to distribute for the people. As he went for Takbiratul Ihram, one of the Bedouins, the Bedouins were known. They were far from knowledge and civilization. Allah himself mentioned that regarding them in the Quran in various places, Bedouins, like saying village men who are not civilized. They were common at the time. The Prophet tolerated them, alayhi salatu wasalam, all in the bid to make sure that they ended up inside Islam. This is one approach we are not employing today. If we are employing it, our approach to it is a bit weak. For every group of person, you find a way. This is the one that will be in the level of so-so and so person, so that in the end, he's able to come into Islam. This one, he needs this kind of a treatment, so that in the end, he's able to come into Islam. This one, he needs this kind of a treatment, so that in the end, he's able to, even those who were very, very rich. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, he had an approach for them too that would suit their richness. Anas ibn Malik said, radiallahu anhu, he said, in kana rajulu la yuslimu ma yuridu illa dunya. In fact, some of us, some people became Muslims at that time. Ma yuridu illa dunya. All that he desired was, oh, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a very benevolent person. So, but when they accepted Islam, يَكُونُ الْإِسْلَامُ أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا وَمَا فِيهَا. When they accepted Islam, Islam became the most interesting and attractive thing to them than everything in the dunya. Look at that approach. So the Prophet alayhi salam, and that approach too is from the approach of Islam, not an extraneous approach. No, it's from the approach of Islam too. In that approach, you are not going out of the bounds and limits of the Sunnah and the Sharia, but from big wisdom, from a lot of patience, from a lot of knowledge, you're able to determine for each person what is suitable for him. Look at this man, Uyayna ibn Hisn al-Fazari. He was a very bad man at that time. And then still he came to the house of the Prophet Muhammad. And even while handling the man, he made sure people did not become deceived. They knew him, that he was a bad man. They still knew that this man was a bad man. Okay, he came to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Ista'adana rajulun ala nabi. So the man came, he took a permission, he wanted to come into the house of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Don't forget, as bad as he was, he was the head of his community. So if you wanted his community, you needed that man. Subhanallah. You can't push away that man if you needed the community, because you needed access to that community. So you need to find a way to relate with the man to have access to the community. This was what the Prophet was doing, alayhi salatu wasalam. At the same time, the rest of the Muslims will not be deceived
by the way he was handling him, not to think that, oh, because the prophet handled him in a particular way, it means that the man was a righteous man. No, this man is a bad man, but I needed to handle him like this to have access to the bigger objective of his community. So it was fair to everybody, alayhi salatu wasalam. And that was why. Did you not see that Allah said that wama arsalnaka illa kaffatan linnasi bashira wa nazira? Oh Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, we have not sent you except to the entirety of the people. And you know the people have different forms of people amongst them. There are those who are brilliant, those who are intelligent, those who are handsome, ugly, those who are stupid, those who are coarse, those who are harsh, those who are benevolent. Yet all these people, to all of them, Allah sent Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam. So for this man who was bad, yet he was the head of his people, how did the Prophet handle him, alayhi salatu wasalam? How did he handle him as an individual? How did he handle this man vis-a-vis the rest of the Muslims who are also watching, so that they don't get wrong impressions from it? So the man asks for permission to come in. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, "Ibanu lahu," allow him, permit him to come. And then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, that fa labi'ita akhul ashira. Yes, allow him to come in, but take note. That man is a bad man in the community. Allow him come in. Yes, let him come in. But he is bi'isa akhul ashira. In another report, said bi'isa akhul qawm, a bad brother of his community. A brother of the community is one of them. A brother of the family is one of them. So he's a bad man from his family. He's a bad man from his community. He's a bad man from his tribe. So allow him come in. Let's handle the situation. But when the man came in, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in another expression, bashafi wajihi, the man met a countenance of niceness and welcome from the Prophet. Bash, he found joy, he found delight, like being attracted by the Prophet Muhammad. Despite that, he made the people understand that he's a bad man. This man is bad. But with his evil, how do we manage him so that we have access to his larger community? And then we are also safe from the evil from his hands. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So when the man left our mother Aisha radiallahu anha, as it occurs in other reports in Sahih al-Bukhari, ya Rasulallah, hina ra'ayta ar-rajula qulta lahu kaza wa kaza. When you saw that man approaching, you said regarding him so and so. Summa tatallaqta fi wajhihi wa ambasatta ilayhi. But when he came, tatallaqta fi wajhihi, you were open, you gave hospital approach, countenance. You accommodated him. You gave an accommodating countenance. You gave an accommodating countenance. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Wa ambasatta ilayhi. You opened up to him. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Well, how come? Well, you said that he was a bad man. So the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, inna Allah la yuhibbu al-fahish al-mutafahish. Ya Aisha, oh Aisha, Allah does not like al-fahish, someone who is bad at speech. That man was a bad man in his speech. He is mutafashish. He goes on with utter obscenity. Obscenity. So perhaps if the Prophet tried to counsel him, he goes obscene. from the evil of this man. And then he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that inna sharra nas, from the worst set of people, are those that man wada'ahu nasu tiqa'a fushihi, that the people leave him aside. Wada'ahu nas, aw tarakahu nas ittiqa'a fushihi, because they are afraid. If they brought him close, he became innocent. He can say anything. He can abuse anybody. He can go on, but we need him. We need him. Maybe he controls an entire state. He controls an entire state. Those who have intelligence, we know who are intelligent. We know how to manage demand, like politicians do. They want to win a state or two or three. They have someone. He may be somehow, he may be vocal, he may be tough, harsh, but they need demand. They understand how to handle him, because they need access to his people. The Prophet handled this man, alayhi salatu wasalam. And because he had said he was a bad man, it was true that the man was a bad man. But if you leave him, he caused harm. So he was told, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told our mother, Aisha, he's a bad man. Bi'sa a'ul akhul ashira. Bi'sa ibn al ashira. Bi'sa akhul qawm. This man is bad. But he must be handled. So the Prophet handled him sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, without letting the man become loose against the ummah. Protecting the ummah from the harm, and also not losing the access he would have had to the community of this man, also protecting the ummah from the harm the man will cause to the ummah. If you tell him that you're a bad man, oh, I'm the bad man, you will see. He begins to tear everything to shreds to prevent that, call him the best of name to himself. May Allah protect us. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam handled Uyayna ibn Hisn al-Fazari, and the scholars say that when the Prophet died sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, during the time of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, this man clearly showed that he was away from Islam. When the Prophet was alive, he was behaving like a Muslim, like the munafiqun, so much that some of the people thought that he was even a Muslim. But when the Prophet died sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he actually returned to kufr. He fought against the people of Islam. He was caught and arrested and brought to Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. He returned to Islam again. The ulama say he also returned to Islam again. I think he finally got better upon Islam and died upon Islam, rahimahullah. So you can see at the end of the day, yes, he was handled, he was managed, he became better at the end of the day. So Uyayna ibn Hisn al-Fazari, the Prophet handled him, alayhi salatu wasalam. What is the point of benefit here regarding the chapter heading? Regarding this chapter heading, the point of benefit is that those who are upon evil and can be a means of harm to the generality of the Muslims, if we fear hurt and harm from them, we must mind the way we handle them. We must mind the way we handle them so that they do not unleash their troubles with their mouth or their might against the ummah. We manage them while allowing the rest of the community understand that this man you see us managing is a bad man, be careful. So now, does this form part of ghiba? We say no, it does not form part of ghiba. The ulama refer to it as nasiha. Why is it nasiha? Sincere advice. Because it is a warning for the Muslims not to get into the deception of this evil man. It's a warning for the Muslims not to get into the deception and the evil traps of this evil man. they needed to be warned regarding him. May Allah protect each and every one of us. So that does not from riba. If we know someone who is well known with risk, he goes about bad mouth, bad character, bad behavior, he can do and undo. Ikhwah, let us warn the rest of the Muslims regarding him, the way the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned us regarding this man, Uyayna ibn Hisn. And of course, if we have a means to it, we should make good efforts to help him become a better person. Like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam managed this man until the man finally, yes, he returned out of Islam. He came back into Islam. And he was managed by those who subsequently became the heads of the community of Islam. I think the man passed away, Uyayna ibn Hisn al-Fazari. He passed away in the Khilafah of Umar ibn al-Khattab. And I think he was upon Islam, as some of the scholars have mentioned, like Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar, rahimahullah. So that case, warning the people about a fatiq is not from ghiba, ikhwah. Warning the generality of the people about someone who is bad in his character, someone who is bad at speech and can cause harm to the rest of the Muslims. Those Muslims deserve to be warned regarding him. May Allah protect all of us. So we were not intending ghiba in that. يريد الصفة ولا يريد الغيبة. The next hadith was the hadith of Aisha. When she was describing our mother Sauda, bint Zam'a, radiallahu anha, that she was a woman who was heavy. She walked only barely, very heavy, huge. She was huge, big, tall, fat, radiallahu anha. And in that, our mother Aisha كانت تريد الصفة. And then she was not actually intending ghiba at all. She only wanted to describe our mother Sauda radiallahu anha. I hope that chapter is very clear. The exceptions we can have, additional exceptions. We mentioned other exceptions, like at the volume, or you want to report someone who was unfair to you, like you have al-istifta, you want to ask a question from a learned person. You have other cases like at-tahdhir, when you need to warn the people. This case was one of such cases, like we have in the hadith of Uyayna we just read, when he sought to come into the house of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Prophet warned that this was a bad man. May Allah protect all of us. I hope that these ahadith are clear, the exemptions to backbiting. The other chapter that we can quickly look at briefly, the time is already even faster. Bismillah, we can quickly look at that chapter. Babu man lam yara bi hikayati al-khabari ba'sa. Babu man lam yara bi hikayati al-khabari ba'sa. The chapter regarding the one who does not consider it inappropriate, that someone is reporting some evil treatment that was meted to him, or some sort of an event that had happened. Someone treated someone badly. Someone treated someone in an inappropriate manner. And then you are reporting it. So things happen to so person. He's giving shikaya. He's giving a narrative. So you can narrate a bad treatment. So person treated so person badly. You can narrate an incident. And I think he meant by that to say that might not also come under al-ghiba, especially if perhaps the one who treated and who was treated were not directly mentioned. If you don't mention them, or you are citing those incidences to the people so that the people can learn from it, they can draw lessons from what happened in the incidents. that will also come from the things that do not amount to an riba. I hope that it is clear. An incident occurred. We want to narrate that incident without necessarily mentioning those in that incident, by way of bringing benefit to those who are listening to the incident, so that they either hasten to good or avoid evil, depending on the lesson in that incident. So that's laba, there's no blame doing that. So he said, Babun, أو باب من لم يرى بحكاية الصبر بعثا. The chapter regarding the one who does not consider it bad or negative or sinful. What is that that he does not consider sinful? حكاية الصبر. Narrating, giving a narrative, narrating an incident. Something went, yes, it went, it happened like this. That does not necessarily count as and riba, and it will come with hadith 757. Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, rahimahullah, he wants to give us his isnad again between himself and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So he said, haddathana musaddadun qala haddathana Hammad ibn Zayd an Asim ibn Bahdala an Abi Wa'ilin an ibn Mas'udin qala لما قسم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم غنائم حنين بالجعرانة ازدحموا عليه فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم إن عبدا من عباد الله بعثه الله إلى قوم فكذبوه وشجوه وكان يمسح الدم عن جبهته ويقول اللهم اغفر لقومي فإنهم لا يعلمون. قال عبد الله بن مسعود فكأني أنظر إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يحكي الرجل يمسح عن جبهته. Imam al-Bukhari reported this hadith from his Shaykh Musaddad ibn Musarhad, from those who had compiled books of hadith before al-Bukhari was al-Imam Musaddad. So that book is usually referred to as Musnad al-Musaddad, rahimahullah. Those reports, al-Bukhari took and made benefits from them, because he also has selected reports from that Musnad al-Musaddad in Sahih al-Bukhari. Perhaps the one we are reading today is also part of it. Al-Bukhari benefited from that Imam a lot. And that Imam, Musaddad ibn Musarhad, was also from the students of Al-Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahimahumullah. He said, Haddathana Hammad ibn Zayd. Hammad ibn Zayd was from the scholars of Islam, rahimahullah. Well learned, well known, from the scholars of Kufa. He is reporting from one of those who reported the recitation of the Quran, Asim ibn Bahdala, well known. Our qira'ah of the Quran, all of us, I'm sure, listening to me, we read the Quran by the report of Asim ibn Abi Najud. Is here in this isnad, Asim ibn Bahdala, rahimahullah. Bahdala was Abu Najud, his father, and he is reporting from Abu Wa'il. Because we have Asim ibn Bahdala in this report, it is necessary for me to say that Asim ibn Bahdala reported it from Abu Wa'il Shaqiq ibn Salama. Likewise, Al-Imam Sulaiman ibn Mihran also reported it from him. So the isnad is sound. Asim ibn Bahdala, he has a tabi'un, someone who reported the hadith from Abu Wa'il together with Asim, was who? Al-Imam al-A'mash, Sulaiman ibn Mihran. His own reports occur in Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. So Asim ibn Bahdala has a tabi', someone who was with him in that report, rahimahumullah. Both of them, Asim ibn Bahdala and Sulaiman ibn Mihran, reported the hadith from Abu Wa'il. Abu Wa'il was a student of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, very, very elderly, far older than Ibn Mas'ud. He was alive, in the time of Jahiliyyah, before Islam. He accepted Islam when the Prophet was alive, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. But it was not opportune to meet the Prophet, alayhi salam. So for the 23 years of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this tabi'i, Shaqiq ibn Salam Abu Wa'il, was alive. But he was not able to meet him, alayhi salatu wasalam. So he was from amongst the Mukhadramun, those who were alive, who accepted Islam during the time of the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, but who were not opportune to meet him. He was even present during Jahiliyyah, before the Prophet's message started. And that's why some scholars refer to him as Jahiliyun, that is someone who lived in the time of Jahiliyyah, even before Islam came. Rahimahullah, Shaqiq ibn Salama al-Asadi. This hadith was reported from him by Asim ibn Bahdala and al-Imam al-A'mash, Sulaiman ibn Mihran. As for him, Shaqiq ibn Salama al-Asadi, Abu Wa'il, he was reporting from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, who said, radiyallahu anhu, and I'm sure we know who Ibn Mas'ud was. Radiyallahu anhu, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Abu Abd al-Rahman, al-Huzali, radiyallahu anhu, from amongst the first persons who accepted Islam, was Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, and from amongst the most learned amongst the companions of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, radiyallahu anhu. I hope that inshallah sometimes we come to discuss the virtues of Ibn Mas'ud, radiyallahu anhu. He used to be called Ibn Ummi Abd, radiyallahu anhu, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. And the Prophet encouraged us, you want to learn Quran, go and learn it from Ibn Mas'ud. So you can see, we read with the recitation of Asim ibn Bahdala. And between Asim ibn Bahdala and Ibn Mas'ud was who? Shaqiq ibn Salama Abu Wa'il. That is how Quran was also transmitted. This reading we are reading, it's not just like that. It was a reading that was conveyed from one generation to the other by these people, rahimahullah. So Ibn Mas'ud, quickly in this hadith, he said, Lamma qassama Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam ghanaima Hunayn. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam distributed the booty of Hunayn. Do we remember the battle of Hunayn? When one of the last battles the Prophet fought, alayhi salatu wasalam. The battle of Hunayn took place after Fathu Makkah. Do we remember Fathu Makkah? When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returned to Makkah triumphant. They prevented him at Hudaybiyah. He came back again, alayhi salatu wasalam. That dream that they had, the dream that the companions had, when Allah said, لَقَدْ صَدَقَ اللَّهُ رَسُولَهُ الرُّؤْيَا بِالْحَقِّ لَتَدْخُلُنَّ الْمَسْجِدَ الْحَرَامِ إِنْشَاءَ اللَّهُ آمِنِينَ. This one happened in the 7th year of Hijrah, when they returned to make Umrah. Of course, they were also ready, but the people of Makkah gave a surrender. Makkah became a home of Islam till today and will never be captured. Makkah became a home of Islam on the day of the triumphant entry of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into Makkah. And it has that name till today, Fathu Makkah. Allah granting victory over Makkah to who? To the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that was also in fulfillment of what he told him in Surah Al-Qasas. Inna alladhi farada alayka al-Quran la radduk. I will return you to Makkah as I return Musa to his mother after exposing him to Fir'aun. I will return you to Makkah. That return, after it happened, a lot of people from Makkah and from neighboring tribes accepted Islam. But some tribes refused. Some tribes outside Makkah refused. that we cannot succumb to Muhammad as the people of Mecca has done. Those were his people. We will not succumb. So they began to gather against the Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam. One of those tribes was Banu Saqif in Ta'if. Today, there's an airport in Ta'if. It was after this Hunain, this battle of Hunain, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was begging Allah regarding the people of Ta'if. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for their guidance, alayhi salatu wasalam. And during that time, the people came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam begging that the Prophet should curse them. Fadu'u alayhim ya Rasulallah, curse them. But the Prophet said, Allahumma ihdi saqifan, alayhi salatu wasalam. Instead of cursing them, he was saying, Allahumma ihdi saqifan, oh Allah, guide saqif. Ta'if is owned by Banu Saqif. The dominant tribe amongst the people of Ta'if was Banu Saqif. That is the tribe of Hajjaj ibn Yusuf. I'm sure we've heard of Hajjaj. May Allah pardon him. Hajjaj ibn Yusuf was tough. He is from Banu Saqif. So from the tribes who gathered to fight the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and other tribes, they came together. The Prophet heard about it, alayhi salatu wasalam, and prepared the Muslims. Don't forget, this time, those who had made Hijrah, the Ansar, the tribes around Medina, all of them, they had come with the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, for Fathu Makkah, together with the rest of those who had accepted Islam in Makkah. So you see, a large number of people were behind the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam in the army of Islam. So we had one of the largest group of the Muslims fighting in that battle after Fathu Makkah. That battle is referred to as Ghazwatu Hunain. And Allah specifically mentioned it in the Quran when he said subhanahu wa ta'ala. I think that one occurs in Surah Al-Tawbah. That لَقَدْ نَصَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ فِي مَوَاطِنَ كَثِيرَةٍ وَيَوْمَ حُنَيْنٍ. So Allah mentioned his help for the people of Islam on many occasions. نَصَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ فِي مَوَاطِنَ كَثِيرَةٍ وَيَوْمَ حُنَيْنٍ. Likewise, he helped you on the day of Hunain, because on that day, the Muslims were many. And this large number, Allah spoke about it, that they thought that we have a large number. Allah said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِذْ أَعْجَبَتْكُمْ كَثْرَتُكُمْ. Yes, you felt we have a very, very, very large number. فَلَمْ تُغْنِ عَنْكُمْ شَيْئًا. But that's your large number. لَمْ تُغْنِ عَنْكُمْ شَيْئًا. It was not a means of benefit. Because the people of Kufr, they waylaid them, they hid on the road. They did not know that the people of Kufr were already hiding in the valley. So as they passed, they attacked the people of Islam. That unexpected attack made these large number, the army scattered. You can imagine an army advancing for a face-off. They were unexpectedly attacked by Mushrikun. It scattered the plans of the army. And then many of the people, because they just accepted Islam from Makkah, some of them ran away. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to be calling the people, Ayyuhannas, Anna Nabiyyu la kazb. I am the messenger of Allah. It is not a lie. Anna ibn Abdul Muttalib. I am the son of Abdul Muttalib. Allahumma nazil nasrak, oh Allah, send down your help. The Muslims ran away. And then they returned by Abbas. The Prophet was telling Abbas, call them back. Call them back. And the people began to return to gather with the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam. At the end of the day, they won the battle against Kufar. But that was after, we are many. Our number is large. We have weapons. We've conquered Makkah. So now we are strong. That feeling went. It returned to the feeling of Help comes only from who? From Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah taught them that lesson, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the major lesson at Hunayn. Now Kufar, they taking over that place earlier before the Muslims came with the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. They came with everything they had. They came with their families, they came with everything. So when the battle returned in the side and the victory of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the companions, and the kuffar ran away, the entirety of the wealth they had, they left it, they ran away. So in Hunayn, after the battle of Hunayn, there was a lot of booty, a lot of camels, such that when the Prophet was distributing, some of them had 100 camels. Some Muslims had 100 camels, thousands of camels, thousands of horses, thousands of kilograms of gold, silver, thousands of war hostages, prisoners of war. So a lot of things were distributed, was there as the booty of war. So this Ghanima, they were gathered at a place called Jirana. This is what Ibn Mas'ud is now telling us about. What happened when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was now distributing that booty at Jirana. The booty they gathered during the battle of Hunayn. Where did the Prophet gather them? Jirana. He gathered them at Jirana. He advanced to Ta'if. That was when he went to make dua. They wanted him to attack Ta'if. He tried, he made efforts on Ta'if, and he started making dua. Oh Allah, make these people accept Islam. Those who say Islam was spread by the sword. The Prophet was making dua, oh Allah, make people, this is, make them accept Islam. The same thing he did to Banu Ghifar. The same thing he did to Banu Aslam. He was making dua for them. Make them accept Islam, Ya Rabbal Alam. So the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, he returned from Ta'if back to Jirana so that he can distribute this booty of Jirana. Ibn Mas'ud said, radiyallahu anhu, lamma qassama rasulullahi ghanaima Hunayn, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam returned to distribute the booty of Hunayn sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bil Jirana, that one happened at Al-Jirana. Izdahamu alayhi. Some of the people were raising complaints. People were feeling that they should have gotten some things. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was giving some people who just accepted Islam so that their seat will be strengthened in Islam. One of those who made a lot of benefit from that was Abu Sufyan. He was a head in Makkah. The Prophet gave him 100 camels, like Hakim ibn Hizam. And other, the Prophet was giving them so that their minds became rested under Islam. They became attracted. Some had not completely made up their minds to accept Islam. The Prophet gave them something. Take, Islam is a religion of beneficence and open-handedness. By that, they were attracted to Islam. Those who say Islam was spread by sword, it was also spread by wealth. It was also spread by dua. It was also spread by good character and encouragement. But the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam was distributing it at Al-Jihra. Some of the people began to raise complaints. Oh Prophet, we too should have gotten. From those who raised complaints, who spoke about it, radiallahu anhum, were the people of Medina, the Ansar. A tribe amongst the people of Medina, they were making comments. They made statements, we are Ansar. We helped the Prophet when he came for Hijra. So when benefits come now, we should have good shares. People say this a lot. We were there at the beginning when things were tough. We spent our money, we spent our wealth. So now when things come, we should have a good share. But the Prophet was rather interested in getting people who just accepted Islam to get a firmer seat. You have been there. Iman is clear to you. Iman is known to you. Iman is already deep in your heart. So don't worry. Let's give those ones that are just coming so that their feet too will become firm like your own. They will not feel a sense of loss coming newly into Islam. So there were a lot of hikmah in what the Prophet was doing, alayhi salatu wasalam. So when the Prophet heard some of the comments from the Ansar, he invited them, alayhi salatu wasalam, and he began to adjure them. He did not berate them, alayhi salatu wasalam. He was just reminding them of the benefits of Allah upon them. And he made statements for which they were very glad and happy. Radiallahu anhu. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam to the Ansar. And this hadith occurs in Sahih, a hadith of Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. The Prophet said to the Ansar alayhi salatu wasalam, أَفَلَا تَرْضُونَ يَا مَعَشَرَ الْأَنْصَارِ. Would you not be pleased, O assembly of Ansar, أَنْ يَذْهَبَ النَّاسُ بِالشَّاتِ وَالْبَعِيرِ, that the people should take shares of shat, the sheep we got from Hunayn, وَالْبَعِيرِ, the camels we got, وَتَرْجِعُونَ بِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ فِي رِحَالِكُمْ. And when you go back, you are going with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. People should take camels. They should take goats. They should take sheep. They should take other booties of war. But you have me. You have me. And look at it. Those who took camels and goats and sheep those days, the camel and the goat and the sheep have died. But those who took the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet passed away, alayhi salatu wasalam, but he's still with them in Al-Madinah, alayhi salatu wasalam. He passed away, he was buried in Medina. You not like people go away with shad, with goats, ram, this, but you have me, I am with you. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فوالذي نفس محمد بيده لولا الهجرة لكنت امرأ من الأنصار. I swear by the one in whose hand is my soul. لولا الهجرة. If not that we made hijrah, لكنت امرأ من الأنصار. I would have preferred being from amongst the Ansar. So he started telling them about the virtue of themselves. You are nice people. You are people that are, even we would like to be a party for you. We like to be part of you. But Allah made us to be from Muhajirun. We came from Makkah. Otherwise, we'll be from Ansar like you. Radiallahu anhum. He went on regarding them. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَلَوْ سَلَكَ النَّاسُ شُعِبًا وَسَلَكَتِ الْأَنْصَارُ شُعِبًا لَسَلَقْتُ شُعِبَ الْأَنْصَارَ. If people pass a road, and Ansar pass on another road, me, I will choose the road of Ansar. Look at his adjuration, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to Ansar. Then he began to say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma arham al-Ansar. O Allah, show mercy and compassion to Ansar. O Allah, bless Ansar. O Abna al-Ansar. And the children of al-Ansar. O Abna Abna. O Abna Abna il-Ansar. And the children of the children of Ansar. When they heard this, radiallahu anhum fabakal qawm, they began to cry. Where were we asking him for goats, for ram, for camel, when he gave us all of these? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From the things the Prophet said on that instance, alayhi salatu wa sallam, was that, inna abdan min ibadillah, a servant from amongst the servants of Allah, بَعَثَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَىٰ قَوْمٍ, Allah raised him to invite a people to Islam. فَكَذَّبُوهُ, but they called him a liar. وَشَجُّوهُ, they wounded him on his head and his face. كَذَّبُوهُ, hey, you go away, you are a liar. وَشَجُّوهُ, they injured him on his face. Who is that? He's talking about himself, alayhi salatu wasalam. The Prophet was raised from the people of Mecca. Kazzabuhu, they say, hey, no, it's a lie. And when he came to Ta'if, they injured him, alayhi salatu wasalam. They stoned him, alayhi salatu wasalam. فَكَانَ يَمْسَحُ الدَّمَ عَنْ جَبْهَتِي. And the Prophet was cleaning, alayhi salatu wasalam. He was rubbing off blood from his forehead. On the day of Uhud, he was also injured, alayhi salatu wasalam. Wayaqul, as he wiped off his face, that servant of Allah was saying, Allahumma ghfir li qawmi, to Allah forgive my people. And that was what the Prophet was saying at Ta'if, when he was stoned and he bled, alayhi salatu wasalam. Allahumma ghfir li qawmi fa innahum la ya'lamun. To Allah forgive my people. Because they do not know when they, what they were doing. And that was what something similar to that he said when he made hijrah. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was leaving Mecca for Medina, he said that too. He said, Ya Mecca, O Mecca, lawla anna qawmaki akhrajuni mink, ma akhrajtu mink. Anti ahabbul biladi ilayya. You're from the most beloved of the cities to me. If not that your people expel me, I will not go out of you. So this was the treatment the people, the servants of Allah and the messengers and the anbiya got from their people. Alayhimu salatu wasalam. These messengers and anbiya, they stood firm. So the Prophet was mentioning, the same thing happened to Nuh. The same thing to Hud. The same thing to Saleh. The same thing to Musa alayhi salam. Isa alayhi salam. Yahya, even Zakaria himself. So the Anbiya and Rusul got very bad treatment from their people. So the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, inna abdan min ibadillah ba'athahu Allahu ila qawmi. One of the servants of Allah, Allah raised him to his people to invite them to the worship of no one but him. Faqazzabu. Say, go away, you are a liar. Washajju. They wounded him on his face. فَكَانَ يَمْسَحُ الدَّمَ عَنْ جَبْهَتِهِ. He began to rub off blood from his forehead. In all of that, rather than curse them, like they did in Ta'if, rather than curse the people of Ta'if, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua. And look at Al-Ansar, when they complained about how he distributed what he distributed, radiyallahu anhum. Rather than curse them, rather than say nigga, he was adjuring them. He was encouraged, don't worry, you have me, I'm part of you. And he made dua for them. Allahumma arhamil ansar, wa abna' al ansar, wa abna'a abna' al ansar. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, because he is rahmatan lil alamin alayhi salatu wa sallam. These are aspects of the life of the Prophet. We, the people of Islam, we should project. People have very bad negative impressions. But look at the Prophet, in the midst of these kinds of hostilities, he was still making dua for them. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fa innahum la ya'lamun. Allahumma ghafir li qawmi fa innahum la ya'lamun. Oh Allah, forgive my people what they are doing, calling me a liar, stoning me, wounding me. They don't know. They are ignorant. So forgive them, Ya Rabbal Alameen. He was begging Allah to forgive them. Make them be from the people of Islam. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, radiyallahu anhu, فَكَأَنِّي أَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَحْكِي الرَّجُلَ. It was as he narrated it to the people. He said, I can even see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day that he was saying that thing, when sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yahki rajula, he was narrating regarding the messenger of Allah, yamsahu an jabhatihi. The Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, as he was narrating that, that messenger of Allah was rubbing off blood from his face. I can remember the gesture of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam. I think the messenger too was also rubbing his hand over his forehead. Alayhi salatu wasalam. The point of reference here is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam referred to what some people did. They stoned the messenger of Allah until he bled, until he was wiping his face. This is a bad behavior from these people. Yet the Prophet was reporting it. So sometimes we report things people do to us. And that will not come from the aspects of riba. Don't forget, it may even come under at-tazallum if you are reporting to constituted authority. So you can report something negative that happened. And of course, here, the Prophet did not say it was Banu Saqif, alayhi salatu wasalam. If we did not know from history what had happened, it was Banu Saqif in Ta'if that stoned him, he got injured. We would not have known that it was regarding them that he was mentioning. So when you mention such narrative, keep the people unknown, because the intention is to draw the lessons, not to blackmail the people. The intention is to draw the lessons and not to blackmail the same people who did badly yesterday, but they are now upon goodness. Banu Saqif became from the people of Islam. Today, one of the airports from where we come into Makkah is in Taif. Today, Taif is one of the most interesting places to stay in today in Saudi Arabia. An angel even came asking, should I destroy these people with these mountains? If you go to Taif today, it's a mountainous region. Nice vegetation in addition to that. The Prophet said, leave them alone, alayhi salatu wasalam. Perhaps from their children are those who will come, and they will become from the people of Islam. And that one happened. So the Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, was reporting about them. He did not mention them. It was in a circumstance of a negative mentioning of what they did. He did not call their name, but he was drawing the lessons, alayhi salatu wasalam, from what the people did that was bad to a messenger of Allah. And such a narrative is not considered from the aspects of al-riba. Don't forget, he did not mention their name. He did not mention their identity. He only mentioned what they did. So sometimes we can mention what some people did that was negative by way of drawing lessons from it, without intending any kind of a malign or insult or abuse to those group of people. I hope that this hadith is clear, and I hope that the lesson is clear about Abdurrahman.
Assalamu alaikum, ya Sheikh. Very clear.
Ameen, ameen, wa iyaakum.
My question here is, Assalamu alaikum, jazakumullahu khairan. May Allah preserve you upon goodness.
Ameen, wa iyaakum.
The case of warning people about bad person, does it have any extent or limits we can go?
Regarding warning people, even in this hadith of Uyayna ibn Hisn, it had a limit. The Prophet did not tell the man himself, hey, look, we are on the watch out for you. He did not. He only told people, the Ummah, we, the rest of us, by telling our mother Aisha, this man is a bad man. It's a Ibn al-Ashira. He's a bad man. From the limits of that was, the Prophet did not confront, hey, you come, you're a very bad man. You're a very useless man. He did not do that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because that will count from al-fahisha. Speaking, becoming obscene. You start telling him, you are a very bad man, you are a very useless man. Yesterday, you did that. You don't need that. But he warned the man. Today, many of the people who would want to warn regarding the people of innovations may go a bit beyond limits. Explain his deviation. If he is a ra'as in it, declare him, this person is a head in this. He does this. Mention him. If need be, if it's just someone who made a mistake, is from the people of Sunnah, he heard, correct his error. If it's necessary, mention so person heard regarding this matter, because the original intention is nasiha. The original intention was nasiha, is to ensure that the man's evil is contained, sometimes the way we announce people's deviations will help popularize that deviation. Sometimes the way during criticism we help popularize it. Don't criticize in a way that the criticism becomes popularizing that negative view. Is this clear? We will criticize it, but we will not give it so much publicity as if to make it become, oh, so now every attention comes back to it. No, it should just be within the limits that is necessary for us to publicize that error and correct the error. Whenever we say people can get into that error, we correct the error. But we should, there are limits, there are clear limits, even from this hadith, that can be drawn from this hadith that the Prophet kept, alayhi salatu wasalam, and that we should also keep. Don't make it go beyond the limits. And don't make it such that you too become culpable. The Prophet was not going to become a uzubillah. Like he said, that when did you find me becoming fahish mutafahish? Someone who just speaks like that, insults and, no, I won't do that. Some of the people, while refuting, become like that. They become so bad, insulting, vulgar, and obscene while refuting. Very vulgar. People say very vulgar things while correcting and refuting people of innovation. They become so vulgar. You begin to say, what you are correcting, this, your vulgarity is bad. It's so vulgar, so obscene and negative in the expressions we use. So refute, correct, criticize, don't go beyond limits. Don't, inna Allah la yuhibbul mu'tadin. So the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, when he told our mother Aisha regarding the matter, he said, mata ahittini fahashan. Aisha, when did you see me as someone who goes beyond limits in my criticism? So there are certainly limits in when we criticize people, maybe because of sin, maybe because of bid'ah. Of course, there are limits of not popularizing the evil. There are limits of not becoming obscene and vulgar yourself while trying to make a correction. And the likes of this. There are also limits in terms of not trying to make a correction and a worse evil comes out of it. You want to try to make a correction and something worse, bigger than what you are trying to correct, comes out of your correction. Then it means the approach to correction deserves a review. I hope that it is clear about Abu Rasulullah.
Naam ya shaykhana, hasan ala ilayhi.
Amin wa iyaakum.
My other question is, Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. He's talking about someone to another person who doesn't know him, considered as giver.
You are talking about someone who doesn't know him, brother A to brother B, and brother B does not know brother A. Yes, it is still giver. Because when brother A finally hears, he will not be happy with it. Ghiba becomes established that you are speaking evil of someone behind him, mentioning his name, without any of these exceptions that we have been talking about. So if he hears, he feels bad about it. It is not about whether the other party does not know him. No. It is about you saying about him what he does not like. It is not about you saying to someone that does not know him. No, riba becomes established when it is something you are saying to anybody and the person in the subject of the discussion does not like that things like that are said about him, whether the other person knows him or not. If you speak evil about your brother behind him, it still counts as a ghibah, except in the cases of exemptions, as we have been discussing. I hope that it is clear.
Now,
we are sharing. Salaatullah alaikum. Amin wa iyaakum, Abu Rasulullah. The time is really, really fast. Thanks. The narration, we needed to put it in proper perspective before we proceed. Can we call it a day today here? We are far, far, we've far spent the time.
Amin
wa iya. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Ikhwa, about our masjid, Masjidul Amin. Work is going on, and proper work will commence before next weekend, bi-iznillah. A lot of things are going on regarding Masjidul Amin. The payloader has gone open the land. They've done site hoarding and site setup, setting up the solar power to provide power to site. Today, security house is being constructed. And water, the borehole is being connected so that site can have water. All these, I think, workers on site call that site preliminaries have started since about 4 days ago. The site preliminaries have started. The Iznillah proper work, we hope, will start before this time next weekend. The Iznillah proper work would have started. Please, Ikhwa, make dua. May Allah make it a means of goodness. May Allah grant us goodness in it, grant us his tawfiq. It's being handled by a team of very experienced, very well-learned brothers, inshallah, in the various fields of construction, the architects, the builders, the civil engineers, and the building engineers, all of them, may Allah guide them. Make this job easy for them. Make it a means of goodness for them in this world and in the hereafter. We support them with a lot of dua. And will give us updates, bi-iznillah, from time to time as the job commences proper. But site setup, as they call it, and preliminaries have already started about the Rahman. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ameen, ameen, ameen.